نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ما بعد، اليوم الخامس من شهر صفر 1446، الموافق للعاشر من شهر أغسطس 2024. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن واحد الأحد, we continue from where we stopped, if I'm not wrong. Today we will be dealing with the, we started last time we talked about the hadith of Al-Ihsan, hadith of Shaddad ibn Aus. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة، وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة، وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليريح ذبيحته. شداد بن أوس said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has written إحسان upon everything. Meaning, a Muslim has to apply إحسان when doing everything in his life. In his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his relationship with others, and in his relationship with himself. So ihsan means kindness. For a person to be kind, and technically, in terms of the Islamic definition of ihsan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ihsanu an ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. The Prophet said, Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see him. Because if you don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Meaning to be sincere, to be kind when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, which comes back to you in benefit. It benefits you first and foremost more than anybody else. So this is the technical meaning, according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam put it, and this is the definition we have. As for the general meaning of ihsan, which is the literal meaning, this is to be applicable in every moment. And we mentioned that kindness is needed in whatever you are doing. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ. When you kill somebody, you should be kind, you should be gentle. You should use the best and the easy way to execute that person. So that's why we said when it comes to establishment of hudud and qisas, a person should make sure that he's using the easiest way, unless if the Sharia has something to say. When it comes to the qisas, last week, we mentioned that the best opinion is the opinion that says we do exactly according to what was done against al-Majni alayhi. Majni alayhi, the murdered person was killed. We use the same way also to execute the one who committed the murder against him intentionally. قَالَ فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةِ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةِ. When you slaughter something, then you should be kind to that animal also. And we mentioned that kindness when slaughtering an animal means to use also the easiest way to execute them. And the best is to use that which Sharia prescribed upon us, using the knife. That's why the Prophet said, وَلِيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. And one of you should make sure that he makes his knife sharp so that you will give an easy exit to that animal. You will not torture the animal before executing the slaughtering. So this is the summary of what we did last week. The next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zakatu al-janin zakatu ummi." قال وعن أبي سعيد الخدري قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم "Zakatu al-janin zakatu ummi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zakatu al-janin." Zakatu al-zakat is tazkiyah, slaughtering. Okay, zakatu ummi, the slaughtering of a janin, a fetus in the womb of the mother. Is the zakat ummi is a slaughtering of the mother. What does that mean? It means you have a cow, for instance, or you have a sheep, which is a female sheep, which is pregnant. But then it happens that you need to slaughter that sheep. So you slaughter the sheep. But that is a fetus in the womb. This fetus is already created, you know, just waiting for the time to come out. But then you slaughter the mother. So is it mandatory upon you to just quickly open the stomach and bring the baby so that you can slaughter the baby also? Not everyone can do this, actually. But the Prophet ﷺ made it easy for us. And this is one of the mercies and the leniencies of the Sharia. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Dhakatul janini, dhakatu ummihi." The slaughtering of the mother suffices the slaughtering of the fetus in the womb. So you don't need to slaughter the fetus in the womb, because when you open the stomach, by then the fetus is going to die, already dead. So what you should do in this regard, you can just cut and eat if you can do that. You know, some people can eat, but it's okay, it's halal. So you don't need to slaughter it. So when you have the fetus in the womb of the mother, when you slaughter the mother, then you don't need to slaughter the fetus in the womb. You get it? That slaughtering of the mother is enough to address the slaughtering of the fetus in the womb. And I guess we get, inshallah, this very clearly, inshallah. قال وعن عبد الله بن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المسلم يكفيه اسمه فإن نسي أن يسمي حين يذبح فليسمي حين فليسمي فليسمي ثم ليأكل. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, "Al-Muslimu yakfihi ismuhu." A believer, you know, has the name of Islam, Muslim. He said, "A Muslim, his name is more than enough for him." That's mean he says he's a Muslim. He's admitted to Allah subhanahu wa taala. He does not need. I mean, it is not wajib upon him to say Bismillah. But this kifaya is applicable when it comes to the forgetfulness. A person slaughtered an animal, nasiya an yusammi Allah. He forgot to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the natural, you know, existence of the name he has, Muslim, it's more than enough to suffice that saying of Bismillah before slaughtering the animal. You get it? That if he forget. So a Muslim comes to slaughter an animal. Unfortunately, he forgot to say Bismillah. Then we can still eat the animal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, فَلْيُسَمِّ فَنَسِيَ أَنْ يُسَمِّيَ حِينَ يَذْبَحُ. If he forgets to mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the slaughtering, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "فَلْيُسَمِّ ثُمَّ لِيَأْكُلْ." When he cooked the meat, he's going to eat it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then he should mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and eat. I guess we talk about this matter long ago, and we discuss the controversy of the scholars concerning saying Bismillah, and we establish the best opinion that it is wajib upon a Muslim to mention Bismillah when slaughtering an animal. It is wajib upon a Muslim to mention Bismillah when slaughtering an animal. You get it? However, if he forgets, this is when we will apply this. We will not say that the animal should be thrown away. No, we will apply those concessions of the Sharia. You know, especially looking at the fact that this hadith and other hadiths of the same nature, they are weak. When you look at the chain of narrations, they are almost all weak, with the exception of some of the hadith al-mawqufa. Mawqufa means those that stopped at the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the hadith says, if a person forgets to mention Bismillah and he is a Muslim, then it is forgiven. Then he should make sure that when eating the meat, he says Bismillah. But according to the best opinion, it is wajib upon a person to say Bismillah. If he intentionally, you know, stays away from Bismillah, then that dhabiha, that animal, cannot be eaten. قال أخرجه الدارقطني وفي إسناده محمد بن يزيد بن سنان وهو صدوق ضعيف الحفظ وأخرجه عبد الرزاق بإسناد صحيح إلى ابن عباس موقوفا عليه وله شاهد عند أبي داود في مراسيله بلفظ ذبيحة المسلم حلال ذكر اسم الله عليه عليها أم لم يذكر. So this is another weak narration that says, you know, the first one, the one that says المسلم يكفيه اسمه, this is موقوف, موقوف على عبد الله بن عباس. It's authentic that Abdullah ibn Abbas said this. If a person forgets, then he can just eat the meat and say Bismillah. And that is another narration which could be used to strengthen that hukum. But this narration also is weak. It says, ذبيحة المسلم حلال ذكر اسم الله عليها أم لم يذكر. The slaughtering of a Muslim is halal, whether he mentions the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when slaughtering it, or he did not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether he mentions the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he did not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? But this narration also is weak. Because if this is authentic and could be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is a clear-cut evidence that shows that saying Bismillah is not wajib upon a person. Saying Bismillah is not wajib upon a person. However, that is not the case. This narration is weak, so we don't pay attention to it. So this is the end of Kitabu Babu al-Sayyid wa Dhabaih. Remember we're talking about that topic, that chapter of al-Sayyid wa Dhabaih. And this is the end of it. So the next, inshallah, we'll be dealing with a new chapter, which is about al-adahi. Adahi means the oath here we're slaughtering. So inshallah, this one I will be dealing with it next week, inshallah. I'm very sorry for to everyone. I came late today because of some necessity, and I'm going to a meeting also in a moment. So I'm very sorry for the delay and also the short class, but it's good to stop here, inshallah. Then next week we'll begin with the new chapter. So Adam, if we have any question, please do come up with it. If not, then we wait a bit for people to ask for what they have, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum.
Yes, Sheikh, I have a question.
Okay.
Why are we skipping the section on hunting with guns?
Did we?
Yes, I remember you stated some ikhtilaf amongst the scholars regarding hunting with guns because it kills with fire or whether it's halal, and you said that you wanted to skip it.
Oh, okay. Now you no. I just skipped that one. Just the commentary. We did the hadith that talks about that, but we just skipped the commentary.
Yeah.
No problem, inshallah. We might come back to it, inshallah. If you love that, then be the light, Allah. Let us just finish. Or inshallah, next class, I will see if I can get Global Maram here. Then we can go through the commentary, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah.
Thank you for the reminder. Yeah.
From Yusuf, Dafa Ali, not Tyler Yusuf. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. We observed that some scholars... Sorry?
I said, alaikum assalam, Yusuf.
Okay. We observed that some scholars used weak ahadith as evidence, knowing they are weak. What is the reason for this? Jazakallah khair.
Because there are some who believe that a weak narration could be used for fada'il al-a'mal. Yeah. And the actions which are not obligatory. They believe that adab, tarbiyah matters, we can use akhlaq, we can use weak narration. And there are some also who depend on the hadith, you know, that is weak according to us, but to them it's authentic. Either they couldn't see what we see, or they are amongst those negligent scholars, very lenient when it comes to criticism of the isnad. Yeah, there are some scholars who are known to be like that. So they will tell you this is authentic to him. But if you go back to the other great scholars of narration, they will tell you, no, it is not. It cannot be authentic because of this and that. You get the idea. So these are the possible excuses Yusuf, we can give to the scholars when they use a weak narration. Otherwise, according to the best opinion of the scholars, the weak narration cannot be used in establishing ahkam at all. Actually, according to the best opinion, it cannot be used at all, even in akhlaq. We just look for the authentic narration, which we do have enough authentic narration to address any kuluk we want to توبزاو إن شاء الله.
From Muhammad, is it risky to interpret hadith by ourselves without waiting for the scholar's opinion, or is it advisable to rely on their expertise?
The expertise of who?
The expertise of the scholars?
Yeah, this is always better to hear from a scholar the commentary rather than going and doing it by yourself. It's always better, you know. But as I said earlier, there are some simple hadiths which a person can understand very easily, and it's okay. A person can read and generate something if he knows the Arabic language, yeah. Those who don't know the Arabic language, I always suggest for them to ask, because sometimes some of these translations are not good in terms of translation. They don't translate the word correctly, you know. Yes,
Assalamu
please.
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ya Sheikh, ahsanu Allah alaikum fi dunya wal akhirah, from Sister Morni. When someone frequently misses reading Bismillah, can we use the verse to say that Prophet Adam alayhi wasallam was not determined? So can we conclude that the person is not determined or not concerned much about to say Bismillah?
If somebody misses Bismillah when
Sir,
eating or when doing what?
I think I understand the message as, if someone is frequently forgetting to say Bismillah, is this a sign of weak
That's
taqwa?
not taqwa, but negligence. That's a sign of negligence. Heedlessness. And this shouldn't happen with a matured person. You know, Muslim, whenever you have something, the first that should come to your mind is Rabbul Alameen. You've got it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should appreciate. And you know, children do that. They forgot always Bismillah wali wa akhirhi, but as a matured person, we shouldn't. So that's the sign of heedlessness, you know, sign of heedlessness. So whenever a person forgets, and if he's always forgetting, that means a person should try to reflect and then try to gain focus, whatever he does. So just remember, whenever you put your hand on something which is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say Bismillah before eating, say Bismillah before drinking, you know. When he forgets, he says that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised. Yes, Ahmed.
Muhammad asks, what is the difference between sallallahu alaihi wasallam and alaihi wasallam? Can they be used interchangeably?
The best is to say sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam wa ala alihi wasallam. That's the best, not alaihi salam. Unless if you're going to say alayhi salat wa salam. But the most complete one is that one. And the one that is more complete, you know, than the two is to make the salat al-Ibrahimiyya. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fi al-alamin innaka hamidun majid. Mubarak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fi al-alamin innaka hamidun majid. You know.
Does this stand for all of the prophets?
Yeah, now the scholars, if you say it to all the prophets, no problem. Yeah, but the scholars usually, when they talk about Adam, they say alayhi salam. That's more than enough. Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's how they differentiate. But both are okay. You can say Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Adam.
That's all, Sheikh.
Okay, if there is no any other question, may Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.